You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. So come to the site now. We're turning the page slowly but surely to week 16. All the rankings are up there early. We'll have the sleepers and busts coming up, and we'll start looking at my start sit there on Wednesday with the decider column. So week 16, fantasy football championship week is here. And we got one more game to talk about before we dive into the final look at the waiver wire for week 16. And we're going to do something a little bit different with our usual guest here on Tuesdays, Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. He usually talks about some guys we're looking at on the wire, but we're going to play some futures here and look at guys in the 2019 draft, a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end that we're going to have our radar on to maybe help us like the rookies did this year. And it's definitely been a strong year for rookies again, mainly at quarterback and running back. But next year, I think it could be even better all around. So looking forward to doing a little change of pace, doing a little fantasy football from the 2019 draft perspective there with him. We'll still get you covered here with the waiver wire, looking at the short-term pickups, and they're all short-term now with only 2 weeks left in the regular season. Things you need to know there, and injury-wise, that have opened up some extra opportunities for players in week 16. But first, we got to break down what we saw on Monday Night Football. It's not going to take us very long because the Saints win the game 12-9. It was pretty ugly here. You look at the Saints, they were able to only get the one score there with Alvin Kamara rushing, but it was just a bad, bad game overall for fantasy. I mean, Drew Brees had an interception. It just didn't look very good overall for this team. So I think Drew Brees, 203 yards, interception. You had Alvin Kamara, 67 yards and a TD. Mark Ingram, only 63 yards rushing. Kamara came through here. He had over 100 yards from scrimmage, but it was a struggle. I mean, you had Michael Thomas catch 7 balls, but for only 49 yards. So disappointing all around. I think the Panthers kind of overplayed here as a defense at home on Monday Night Football in desperation tends to do, and that's what we saw. But still, if you had Kamara, at least you didn't disappoint. It's been a disappointing final week for a lot of players. And on the other side, Cam Newton, the shoulder just wasn't right. He had 131 yards, only interception, only 15 yards rushing. The Saints completely shut him down. Christian McCaffrey got his just based on volume. And the bonus was that he threw a 50-yard touchdown pass for the Panthers' only touchdown. The other points came on a interception return off the failed two-point conversion by the Saints. So McCaffrey still has 53 rushing, grinded it out, wasn't pretty there, but he also had 67 receiving yards and that 50-yard touchdown, which was an 8-point play for him in a lot of leagues. So McCaffrey gets the job done unconventionally for you, but on a week where guys like Saquon Barkley and Phillip Lindsay, some consistent backs that have dominated all season, have struggled, Kamara and McCaffrey at least came through for you. So I think the Saints will all get better. They're all going on home next week, finally, after 3 weeks on the road against the Steelers. So that should be a position for Drew Brees to put up some points there, throw a lot, and be successful. The Saints' running game's hot again, so at the Dome, they should be fine. With the Panthers, they're playing the Falcons, so they should be all fine, too. So this week, kind of flush it as being a primetime, weird game. The Saints had a lot of on the line looking for that number one seed, pushing closer to that. The Panthers had to win to stay in playoff contention. So I don't think you can take away too much here, except for the fact that everything should be better on both teams in week number 16. Now, before we bring on Eric Edholm, we'll start to look at the quarterbacks and running backs. And after we talk to him, we'll finish up with the wide receivers, tight ends, and defenses that we want to look at here. At quarterback, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, we're going to talk about next year's class and see if anyone can channel their abilities. But with Baker Mayfield, we've seen a lot of it get done through throwing here, and he's had a lot of multi-touchdown games, and he's had a very good fantasy season here on the back end. But Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, the lesson to be learned here is that, yeah, Sam Darnold has looked good at times. Josh Rosen has looked pretty bad at times. Mayfield has had his way here, but this rushing in the back end for a quarterback, we haven't seen Jackson, anyone like him, run that much, even Michael Vick in his heyday. So we love running quarterbacks in fantasy because it gives them just a higher floor, because if you can get to 80 to 100 yards rushing, and we've seen this with Mitchell Trubisky this year, that you get there and you're a good spot. I mean, it's the Chargers this week, and the Chargers are a team you can run on. And with Jackson, they won't deviate much from this game plan. They're liking it. They're winning for the most part. They did lose the Chiefs game, but this is their best way to win the Chargers game, because you don't want to throw on the Chargers. So you have Lamar Jackson as another sweet one-week play here. DFS, he's going to be a hot target as well. With Allen, it's getting better because he's starting to look good as a passer as well as a runner. Last week, he didn't have to run too much and still came through, scored a touchdown. This week, it's the Patriots. Remember the first time he didn't get the Patriots, and it was a disaster for Derek Anderson as they struggled to score. But the Patriots struggle with speed, and Allen can certainly run like a freight train. And so he has a shot here, and the Dolphins are there in Week 17. So some opportunities here for Allen to finish really strong. And I'm looking forward, again, on top of the quarterbacks we're going to talk about in the 2019 class, to what Jackson and Allen can do with a little bit better supporting cast, because I don't think their running is going to be peeled away too much, and I think their downfield throwing is going to be rather effective here overall. Now, when we go to running back, it's pretty easy. We have Aaron Jones dealing with a knee injury. You got to look at Jamal Williams. Remember Jamal Williams? He was kind of the reason that Mike McCarthy stuck with him and played him a lot and not playing Aaron Jones. But then Williams comes through in this tough matchup against the Bears after Jones goes down. So you look at the Packers here, have the Jets in Week 16. So it's a great spot here immediately for what he can do as the lead back here. I don't expect they're going to take any chances with Jones with only 2 weeks left in the regular season, nothing on the line. So Week 16, I really like him. Week 17, I'm not crazy about that matchup against the Lions, who've been better against the run, but you still have to pick him up. We know starting running backs that get very high volume are rare, and you have to go after him. And on the other side of that matchup, you have to also look at Eli McGuire. Like, he's locked in now. Isaiah Crowell's on IR, so if you missed out on him last week, I think you have to go to McGuire. The volume is there. The matchup is very good in that game, same game against the Packers. So going there, another injury that we learned about was a Frank Gore. And immediately, Kalen Ballage came in. So it's good when you know and you can see the guys come in and produce. We saw that with McGuire a couple weeks ago, Williams this week, and with Ballage this week, that he came in. We know he had a lot of hype coming in to this situation there from Arizona State. He really delivered here when given the opportunity. And the Dolphins have a pretty good run-blocking scheme. I think they've lacked a little explosiveness because of Gore in there. And Kenny Drake has been a little banged up. They don't somehow use him enough. They like to use him more as that change of pace runner. But Ballage can be the real deal. He kind of really busted out against that Vikings defense. So you definitely have to look at him as a viable option here in the final two games for sure. Because, again, running backs that touch the ball a lot and have some straight-ahead ability, we've seen that with Gus Edwards there, they're going to produce. And you got the Jaguars this week. I don't care about that. The Jaguars are not as good on the road defensively typically. And Blodge is that big play runner the way we saw Derrick Henry a couple weeks ago as well. So you have to look at these guys so late. And another injury that happened, I mean, this has just been so much attrition of this position. But Lamar Miller got banged up and got out of that Jets game. Now they're playing the Eagles, who had really sprung a leak against the run. And Alfred Blue's getting his opportunities. I could see Dont'a Foreman being active as well. But Blue is the guy that they're going to give the ball to, you know, in those goal line situations. And you can run on the Eagles. And we've seen Blue come through before and Miller's down. So another good value player there. And, again, it's just amazing how many of these running backs are there that are available. I mean, the Bills, will have to see what happens with them. They were running the ball pretty well with Marcus Murphy, but Murphy got hurt with an arm injury. You already had LeSean McCoy miss with a hamstring. Chris Ivory miss with a shoulder. So you could have a lot of Keith Ford there in this matchup. But again, the Bills are in good position to do some damage against the Patriots this week. The Patriots, by no means a shutdown defense of any kind. So you have to look at all these guys. The injuries just keep opening up opportunities, and that's what happens this late in the season. And we've seen it pay off big time in a lot of other situations, and this is no different here in Week 16. If you need a flex player, you got a lot of extra options there on the waiver wire at running back this week. Now, as a reminder, we're all over social media here on the Locked On Network. You can find me at Vinny Iyer on Twitter, Vinny Iyer on Facebook, and Instagram. All our shows connect to you there as well. We want to be connected to you, the listener, and we're happy to have you here along the way. And it's good to know that we're providing you with insight and you like our content. So, again, we appreciate you, and check us out on social media. Connect with us a little bit more, and we want to bring you the kinds of things you want to listen to. So we're always listening to you guys as you listen to us, and just great to be part of this Locked On NFL Network, and feeling very thankful as we approach Christmas and the end of the holiday season here. We'll be right back here with Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly to look at some 2019 futures across the positions. Joining me now for the final time here during the regular season for Weekly Waiver Wire, spin on the Weekly Waiver Wire, we're looking at futures this week, is Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. How's it going, Eric?
Everything's good, yeah. Just sort of getting ready for the holiday season here and gearing up for playoffs and coaching searches and all that stuff, and lamenting my fantasy loss in which I had Mike Williams planted on the bench. That was, you know, that's never a good feeling. So that's just one of those things.
Yeah, and I had to watch the slow bleed of the Saints combination of Drew Brees and Michael Thomas inch towards just enough points to beat me. Sometimes I wish it would just be like an obliteration where these guys just do their thing and explode, and then I feel not as bad. But when it's slow halt, you just think of what could have been, and it's yeah, that's the way it is. But that's fantasy football for you in a nutshell, and you always have to be thinking about the future, and that's what we're going to do here. Forget about what happened this year. We're thinking about next year, 2019, bigger, better. Now, when you look at this season, I don't think we went in necessarily saying that Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Baker Mayfield were going to be the most attractive of these rookie quarterbacks. We're looking early season, Sam Darnold starting right away, Josh Rosen, he's got some weapons there in Arizona. But these three guys, and I think with Jackson and Allen, just the running ability really helped them. Now, next year, I'm not so sure we're going to get this immediate return, but there are some intriguing quarterbacks. We're not completely sure about their decision, but right now, you think Dwayne Haskins of Ohio State looks like he's going to come out and be the best option here. I believe this guy could be immediately impactful if he lands with a team like the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, his landing spot, and I believe he's a Jersey kid too, which is, it makes that a little more interesting too if you're a fan of that team. And you know, I kind of throw out the history of Ohio State quarterbacks because, you know, that's sort of the thing that people will focus on. Hey, they haven't produced an NFL starter in how long at that position. But, yeah, that to me is sort of irrelevant. And, you know, I'm sure we'll keep an eye on Justin Herbert from Oregon and see what his decision is. You know, I kind of soured a little bit more on him as the season went on. He seems, you know, inclined to return to school. And, you know, with Haskins, I don't think he's a finished product at all. And yet you hear Ohio State's interest in Justin Fields, you know, from Georgia, the transfer. I think it's pretty clear that Haskins could come out this year. So, you know, he's got a lot of arm talent. He's an interesting player who can really fill it up fast. And, you know, I'd like to see the landing spot before I, you know, figure out what his immediate impact is going to be. But he's a good little player who's really kind of come on here and shown me something. And, you know, probably at this point, I think you're right, probably stands as QB1 depending on further developments or if he maybe hurts himself in the process. But yeah, I think that's sort of where we're at right now.
Yeah, Haskins and Herbert definitely are really talented. They can do a lot of things. And Haskins, he's used his mobility more. We know the rushing has been a big deal for the way we perceive Allen and Jackson. And then the downfield throwing is why we really like Mayfield. So we want some kind of combination of that if we're looking at a rookie quarterback to have some value this time next year in fantasy football, we've seen with Allen and Jackson. Now, Drew Lock is intriguing to me, and you saw a lot of him there, obviously, being a Mizzou guy there. I feel like he could land in a good spot here. I think the key to any of these quarterbacks, potentially, is avoiding the Jaguars, but I'm not sure the Jaguars are as bad of a spot either with some of the receiving talent and the running back they have.
Yeah, and maybe the Jaguars decide to go for, you know, a Flacco route or a veteran route, but then they also draft somebody too. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to figure out what their plan will be. You could probably say the same for the Redskins too. But yeah, I mean, Drew Lock to me is a little bit of an enigma. I mean, he clearly makes throws that make you think, oh yeah, he's got the arm talent to make it in the NFL. There's no question about it. And after a really disappointing start this year, and you could probably say the same last year as well, you know, a couple of really clunker starts early in the 2017 season. The South Carolina game was just ugly. You know, the Auburn game last year was not good. And by the end of both seasons, I think you'd seen the best of him. And you know, he had to adjust systems. You know, coming from, you know, the Josh Heupel system 2017 and, you know, switching to more of a pro style system this year, losing Emmanuel Hall, his top deep guy and his most reliable receiver for a big chunk of the season with an injury. I all things considered, I thought he did okay for himself, and he's going down to the Senior Bowl and will have a chance to kind of emerge as a, you know, as a threat to Haskins or the top other quarterbacks. But yeah, I mean, he's as good an athlete as any of these guys, and he's become a more effective runner too. So maybe out of necessity at times, but yeah, he's somebody who could maybe, I don't, he'll never be Josh Allen, but he could maybe be one of those guys who, you know, scores a couple of touchdowns on the ground as well.
Yeah. Maybe like a Trubisky light early, maybe as he kind of learns his way. But a guy that I look at that kind of maybe could be a little bit of Darnell, a little bit of Mayfield in terms of being fearless and throwing the ball and kind of just not worry about maybe the consequences, but looking at the deep ball a little bit more is Will Greer. I kind of like his makeup here to have some early success if he lands in the right spot.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, the Florida transfer was just starting to play well down there before he went to West Virginia. And you know, you knew how upset Florida fans were because they felt like he was just starting to come on a little bit. And, you know, he's got that kind of gutsy mentality where I don't think he's Mayfield, but he's got a little bit of that where, you know, he makes some good decisions and also has sort of the cat burglar gene a little bit in terms of, you know, throwing into tight windows and trusting his receivers and all that. Looked a little inconsistent at times versus pressure. There are times where he, you know, comes up and makes some bad decisions. I don't know that he has upper level arm strength, but he could throw the ball with some nice touch down the field too. So he might be a little bit of a divisive, you know, character in this draft picture, but I think you know, I think there's enough interest in him where he'll be a high enough draft pick where you could at least sort of say, yeah, I could picture him playing in year one and being relatively effective.
Yeah, and I think it's just surprising because to me, I would have that blanket rule a few years ago that don't draft rookie QBs. Don't try to look at them at the waiver wire. But
yep.
I think I just have to give that up here because the systems and the supporting cast, I mean, I think, do you think the NFL is just a little bit better now for rookie quarterbacks to have success because they've had so much coaching and scheme kind of a thing shoved down their throat before they get there, and then they come to the NFL and it's a little bit easier?
Yeah, I think so too. I think more NFL coaches are willing to adopt some of the college concepts that these guys have been steeped in either, you know, for 3 or 4 years in school, but also now we're at the point where, you know, the spread offense and such has been kind of the bread and butter offense for a lot of high school teams as well. So some of these guys have been now doing it for, you know, 7 or 8 years, and that makes a big difference instead of trying to rewire their brains and force them to do things that they aren't comfortable with. You know, obviously look at the Ravens as a great example, who switched offenses night and day between what Joe Flacco was running and what Lamar Jackson was doing too. I mean, design runs, you know, some of those spread concepts as well. So yeah, I think that also plays into the fact that you can get year one quarterbacks who don't look overwhelmed, or a guy like Nick Mullins who, you know, for all intents and purposes, a year one quarterback. I mean, he's played good football in a bad situation and, you know, really kind of, you know, made a name for himself a little bit. So yeah, I think those are good examples of you know, the transition maybe being a little easier for some players.
Now, running back has been really,
really
weird this season because you have the alpha, which is Saquon Barkley, and then you had to drop all the way down to the omega, the undrafted guy there in Philip Lindsay. But the Royce Freemans and Rashad Pennies and Ronald Jones, these guys have just not gotten going and getting jobs here. But I think next year could be a little bit better. And I know there's a lot of question marks with Bryce Love, who just announced that he is leaving Stanford as expected. I know he had a lot of the injuries. He would have been a little bit higher maybe coming out last year if he wasn't hurt. Yeah. But I feel like this guy still can be pretty special. And I'm looking at a team maybe like Philadelphia late to maybe take him and really put him in their system and kind of be successful there. I think he's back. A lot of people are going to overlook him because of the injuries, but I still think he's very special and can produce right away.
I mean, he still had a 2,000-yard season last year in which he scored 19 touchdowns or whatever it was, and you know, and still averaged 8 yards a carry. I mean, his first 3 years, he averaged about 7-point-something, you know, yards per carry combined, and that, you know, closer to 8, and that's just an unbelievable thing. I think the injuries and everything kind of hurt him this season, you know, really did hold him back. I know they were trying to get him more involved as a receiver. That's one area that, you know, that scouts will want to see. Can he catch the ball consistently? He wasn't asked to do it a ton in college. So, you know, those are your worries. He's got a frame that's maybe a little bit small. Durability is something that, you know, that slight frame is going to be something that the scouts will kind of nick him on. But yeah, in the right role, you know, if you want to put him in that Darren Sproles spot next year, let's say, yeah, I could absolutely see him be that kind of change of pace back and an effective one. So, you know, there are a lot of interesting backs in this draft. I don't know if there are any great ones, but, you know, David Montgomery is somebody that I've always kind of liked at Iowa State. And surely Rodney Anderson before he got hurt. I don't know what his decision – I can't remember if he's come out or not. But Damian Harris from Alabama I like. Miles Gaskin I like from Washington. But you're – you know – There's a certain type of back that's available in this draft that I think is pretty good. I don't know that it's going to be a great group, but yeah, we sort of funny. That was always the position that was the year one impact, you know, spot. And we haven't seen that as much this season.
Yeah. And sometimes comes out of talent, but what we've seen in the past is it doesn't really matter where the heck these guys are drafted, or in Lindsay's case, isn't drafted. Sometimes just about the opportunity. And you really have to kind of pay attention to the depth charts because there's a lot of backs that get overlooked, a lot of backs that get overdrafted every year. And I think this year could be the case here. Now, with Harris, do you kind of see him as a complete back? Or I'm not completely sold that he's going to be the workhorse. And I know we've seen Alabama mixed results, but right now, the way Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry are going right now, that gives you a little bit more confidence trusting a back from Alabama in fantasy.
Yeah, and, you know, he's not exactly either one of those guys, right? I mean, he's got more of the Mark Ingram body size, that kind of compact, powerful frame or whatever. I don't know that he'll ever be this like explosive home run hitter, but I think he could be I'm trying to think of what, like maybe a poor man Zeke Elliott a little bit. And that's pretty high praise, but sort of that guy who moves in a way that it's just so efficient, you know, and he can work between the tackles. He can work outside. Doesn't, you know, before this year, you never really thought of Zeke Elliott as a great receiver. I know they've gotten him a lot more involved. I think by year three of Damian Harris's career, he could be an effective receiver, but more of a check down guy and that sort of thing. And just not a big burst guy, but a surprisingly effective runner who always sort of maximizes the yards that are available. So, yeah, landing spot for him is going to be very interesting. And he could be a great kind of a 1A. Like if you find that Kamara Ingram type of situation, I think he can kind of play the Ingram role a little bit.
Yeah, the two teams I think I'd be just looking forward to, I mentioned the Eagles, but the other one obviously with the Chiefs, because they have no running backs under their wing right now or under free agency for 2019. So there's that. And we know that Andy Reid, sometimes with the running backs, and we saw that with Lindsay, we've seen that kind of with anyone that the 49ers seem to put in that system. Sometimes it's about the system more than the back when you're looking at rookies.
Yeah, no, I mean, right. 49ers are a great example. I mean, you have, you know, Jeff Wilson. I know he's fumbled and stuff, but I mean, he's still producing. You have Matt Breida in that role, and you have other, you know, obviously they've had a couple guys go down, and yet the production has been there, and they, just the opportunities sort of open up, and, you know, it makes you think that, you know, I'd rather have a good to very good back in a great system than a very good back in a system that doesn't sort of highlight their skill set a little bit. And I know that's, you know, it depends on where you're talking about here. But, yeah, I kind of would rather have opportunity over, you know, elite talent who's sort of pegged into the wrong hole, if you will.
Now, I'm most excited. I mean, we talked about the quarterbacks, we talked about the running backs, but I'm really excited about the wide receivers because we know that a lot of these wide receivers are going to be matched up with a lot of these rookie quarterbacks here from 2018 and really increase their value. I mean, they seem to be perfect connections with some of these guys, but two guys that I can't wait to see, and I think they could be immediate red zone big play threats, both of them. And both from the Pac-12, N'Keal Harry of Arizona State, who sat out the bowl game, they already played. And then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who has the ability to go up and get the ball in the red zone. I think I look at, from last year's draft, Mike Williams and Corey Davis, and I see a lot of those two guys and these two guys.
Yeah, and we're going to have to get used to the initial guys this year. We got J.J., Arcega-Whiteside, we got D.K. Metcalf, A.J. Brown, who was the other one I was thinking, K.J. Hill from Ohio State, so a lot of initial receivers this year and some interesting names. But yeah, outside of Hollywood Brown, you kind of have a lot of these 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", big-bodied receivers. Arcega-Whiteside, you know, a jump ball specialist, Kelvin Harmon, a physical blocker, Metcalf, a guy who's extremely well-built, so a lot of these guys who I think can be effective, you know, intermediate receivers and really kind of open up the middle of the field, especially for a team that doesn't have a great pass catching tight end or something. And, you know, it leads me to believe that there's, you know, even if the Ravens are determined to be kind of this run dependent team, I would still love to see them go get a Harmon, an Arcega-Whiteside, a Metcalf or an N'Keal Harry, to just really work the middle of that field and have that big wingspan to go up and get those 50-50 balls. Because, you know, Lamar's not a precision passer. So there'll be some balls who are behind, a little low, a little high, a little wide. That's the kind of guy who I'd love to see be that target, replace Michael Crabtree, let's say, And also, oh, by the way, do great work as a blocker. And that's the kind of year one receiver that will be on the field a lot. And, yeah, I mean, there are more than one team, I think, who could use a player like that, obviously. But that's just a good example in my head.
Yeah, I like the fact that some of these teams, like the Jets with Robbie Anderson and the connection there with the Darnold and Robert Foster there with the connection with Josh Allen, that they can look for that complimentary guy in this draft that can really be a force. And when you look at the two Ole Miss guys, I mean, people have tried to decipher who's a little bit better in this draft. Some people go with A.J. Brown, some go with D.K. Metcalf. Who do you kind of like, and how do you kind of compare their skill sets here to have immediate impact?
Yeah, immediate impact, I might say Brown. I mean, I'm not saying – I think both can do something wherever they land. Again, you know, as you pointed out earlier, opportunity is so important. I mean, heck, look at Robert Foster. He has more yards, I believe, in his rookie year in the NFL than I think he had combined at Alabama or something like that. I mean, it's insane. Obviously, the offense down there was so run-heavy when he was there. But, you know, I think – Brown, just being maybe a little more polished right now, could step in and be a little bit of a quicker study. But Metcalf, I think, and again, I'm so early on my evaluations on these guys, I'm going off a lot of what other people have said and such, but Metcalf might have the higher ceiling. So, you know, depending on where they each land, I wouldn't be shocked if Metcalf is a little more popular in those keeper leagues or those dynasty leagues, whereas Brown could be more of your standard fantasy guy who, you know, steps in and is that complimentary piece you were saying.
Yeah, and one other guy we'll talk about here at a wide receiver is Kelvin Harmon. And I'm starting to like this guy a little bit more and more, and he's missed his bowl game as well. And I think he's a guy maybe later in the first round that could be taken there and go land on a pretty good team.
I think so, too. You know, and just the fact that he is this big, strong, vertical receiver, and to be able to go down the field and make plays the way he has. And also, like I said, I think one of the best run-blocking receivers you'll find in college football, too. Tracks the ball well, good hands. You know, I know that his production at times has been sort of limited, especially red zone. You know, his touchdown totals haven't been huge. I know he's put up the yards consistently, but – you know, I'm not the biggest Ryan Finley fan at all, his quarterback there. I think he's an okay, you know, he's a good college quarterback, obviously, who trusted Harmon. But, you know, this is the kind of guy who could be unleashed, I think, with the right system and the right QB throwing him the ball. So some of there was, you know, maybe some scheme limitations and obviously sharing the ball with a lot of other talented pass catchers the past couple seasons down there. And, you know, Jalen Samuel was catching 70 balls last year and that sort of thing, too. But, yeah, I kind of feel like this is a player who could end up being, as good as he's been the last 2 years, a better pro than a college player, having a more dominant role at some point. So he fascinates me. I think you're right. He's – right now I would put him in that top 30, top 40 mix and say he has a great chance to be a late first or an early second round pick.
Now, when you're looking at there's a lot of studies done on the type of wide receivers that are successful in the NFL, but – to me, I really like the way this class lines up because I'm not a fan of these guys like John Ross, and we know that because he's just a fast guy and he's on the outside. But you see in year two, I mean, we were really disappointed with Corey Davis for most of his rookie year. Mike Williams did nothing. But when you have that profile and being able to go up and get the ball and score touchdowns, that's what we're looking for from our wide receivers. So we're not looking for guys that score three touchdowns and are possession receivers. We want the guys that get in the end zone. We want the Davante Adams type guys that are just going to be go-to and catch everything. And I think maybe this wide receiver class fits that a little bit more than the ones we've seen the past couple of years.
Yeah, good height, good length, good thickness too. I mean, you see guys in the 220-pound range, and if they can still run in the 4.5s, you're licking your chops. That's great. Anything below a 4.6 is probably – you know, ample NFL speed for what these guys are going to be asked to do. So, yeah, I mean, Colin Johnson, the big kid from Texas, the Hakeem Butler's fascinating. I mean, I don't know if anyone's seen him yet, Iowa State. Another long, levered, big, you know, wide range here. And those guys can be tricky, right? They don't always fit into the NFL game. But if you use them correctly and you know what your role is going to be for him, you ask him to do things that he's good at doing – they can really carve out a nice role and be red zone threats and be middle of the field threats and help you in your run game with the blocking. So yeah, there's a lot of them. I'm impressed with some of the speed of some of these tall guys too. I mean, we're not talking about a Calvin Johnson like physical specimen, but there's a few guys who are, you know, kind of smaller versions of that where they can still run in the low 4.4s despite having these really big bodies.
Now, finally, we have to look at tight end, only because tight end was such a bad position in fantasy. And even the studs in the final week of the season really let down. I mean, it was a very tough position. I mean, it's almost becoming like kicker, where do we really have to start a tight end?
But you didn't start Chris Manhurts this week, right? You didn't start
Garrett Salick? Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, it's just been kind of maybe a lull here, waiting for those guys. You have those core few guys, but when you have Eric Ebron as a revival guy doing some things, and he was still hit or miss this year, you're looking for somebody with that consistency. I mean, right now, yes, based on what we know, Noah Fant of Iowa looks like the best guy. I thought we would see a little bit more of Hayden Hurst. He was obviously hurt early in the season. Mark Andrews has had a few flashes, but that position has just been useless here this year. I feel like Fant, if he lands in the right spot, could be effective. And I'm looking maybe in that Titans spot, if maybe later in the first round or maybe in the second round for them, because Jonnu Smith has a big injury. Delanie Walker's old and he's hurt. So I feel like there's an opportunity there if he lands on the right team.
Yeah, he reminds me of Ebron in some ways. Just a phenomenal athlete and, you know, more of a receiver than a true tight end, or what we used to think about tight ends. So, yeah, I mean, Fant, I think there was some question about, you know, what happened in that Northwestern game. Why was he not on the field at the end? I'm sure you were watching that one as a Wildcats guy. It was sort of, you know, and I understand they have T.J. Hockenson, another, I think, who might be the – might end up being the best all-around tight end in this class if he comes out. He's a redshirt sophomore. But, I they've used those guys all year long, you know, 12 personnel, 22 personnel, what have you. And for some reason, and his brother had kind of called out the coaching staff the week before, so there's going to be some questions about that. But, yeah, late first, early second round, I think you're looking at Noah Fant and his great athleticism and saying, you know, if a team wants to be smart about him, meaning – don't do what the Lions did, which was, you know, kind of put him in the wrong kind of role and let him develop at his own pace. Yeah, he could be that helpful guy. But I think tight end might be among the slowest developing positions in the NFL right now. So rookie tight ends are going to scare me just as much as anything else. I might be more apt to look for that, you know, that second or third year guy who was a first, second round pick, well thought of, hasn't done it yet, but isn't a good opportunity and kind of develops that way. So rookies kind of are going to scare me this year.
Yeah, I think Noah Fant, I think there's definitely that mystique with the Dallas Clark and now George Kittle factor that this position, Iowa tight end, seems to have some success in waves in the NFL. And Kittle, obviously, looking for a second Kittle might be impossible because I think he might be the guy that everyone goes after, maybe as the top tight end in fantasy next year. So looking forward to just seeing how these guys develop. And I just like having more options. And good rookies give me better options. I get tired of some of these guys you plug in. They're veterans that inch to, like, four catches for 40 yards, like a Michael Crabtree. I just want more options that have some upside. And I think certainly there's a lot of upside, I think, more at those skill positions than quarterback overall.
Yeah, no, and it's so true. I mean, tight end is such a hit or miss position. It's so tricky, and obviously just talking in young guys at all. I mean, you know, you have to be smart about it. You have to almost rethink about how teams are integrating these guys, but also the talent too. I mean, you can't forget, let's not just assume that, you know, every year is going to be a down year for rookie running backs all of a sudden, or every year is going to be a decent year for rookie receivers, or it's going to change year to year. But yeah, I'm with you. I like having a little bit more depth to choose from than having to fall back on some of these veterans who, you know, are just going to settle into that. Yeah. That kind of consistent, underwhelming role.
Well, I'm looking forward to 2019. I came close with fantasy football in year long leagues. I did a little bit better in DFS, but overall it's good to look ahead and, think about the new year and celebrate that already. And thanks for taking a little curveball with me here, Eric, and looking at that. And tell us what you're working on. I'm sure there's a lot of draft stuff coming up on Pro Football Weekly's pages here soon.
Yeah, we'll be down at the Senior Bowl in, it's about a month now. It's crazy to think it's that close. But so we'll be down there and kind of getting ready for some of the stuff that's happening. And, you know, I'm interested to see how this class shapes up and how deep it is and how many guys accept and that sort of thing. So I'm doing a little bit of advanced work on that right now. But, kind of gearing up for the NFL playoffs and then switching to draft and free agency mode.
Well, Eric, we've had a great time having you on the show here all season long here. Some great insight. Your unique perspective on the league is very helpful for fantasy football listeners for sure. So Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And I think maybe we'll do a little bit more of this come playoff time if you're game for it. And we can look because I know fantasy football does not stop in the playoffs and Super Bowl.
I love that people, you know, are willing to kind of rethink the bounds of fantasy football, not just with the daily stuff, but the playoffs and, you know, other possibilities along the way. So I'd be more than happy to help. And it's been a pleasure, Vinny. I love to have, having our Tuesday chat. So it's been fun.
Well, good luck in whatever you have left this week. And again, have a safe and happy holiday. And we'll talk to you hopefully in January here.
Sounds good. Same to you as well. Thank you, man.
Thanks so much to Eric for that look ahead insight here for the 2019 draft. And if you like hearing about draft stuff, you got to check out two shows here on the Locked On Network. That's right, two shows devoted to the NFL draft. We've got our new show, Draft Dudes, the podcast hosted by Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino. And then our original flagship show there on the NFL draft, Locked On NFL Draft with John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema. So we've got a pair of great shows there to check out on the network, as well as our Locked On Fantasy Basketball show as well. So if you like draft, you like fantasy, you like NFL, MLB, NBA, college sports, the Locked On Network is for you. And check those shows out for sure. You'll get a lot more insight. And Eric mentioned he'll be at the Senior Bowl. We'll have all the great insight from there to get a little bit better read on these prospects of these players for immediate impact in 2019. Be right back here to break down the wide receivers, tight ends, and streaming defenses for week number 16. Now, wide receiver, kind of two parallel things happened. You had two go-to guys, deep threats, kind of emerged for their young quarterbacks. And Robbie Anderson definitely locked in with Sam Darnold. We saw the chemistry with Josh McCown. This just tells you Anderson is a very talented receiver. And he's a little bit more complete receiver. He's not just that deep threat that was there from McCown, catching those long touchdowns. He's been a consistent target all over the field for Darnold. And frankly, they have no one else. So Anderson is a great spot against the Packers. It could be a little tricky if he gets Jaire Alexander, but they're going to move him around, and Anderson is just locked in here with Darnold. The chemistry is too good, so he's looking good. And Robert Foster, we've talked about him in the past, very similar. He's kind of the Robbie Anderson of the Bills in relation to Josh Allen, and he's just a big playmaker. He's had several high yardage games because of his big play. He got in the end zone last week. We talked about it a little bit with Eric, an undrafted guy from Alabama, that the talent has always been there. The injuries were a question mark, but he has been fantastic here down the stretch as a legitimate receiver that the Bills should keep in their offense. And really, once they cleared like the Kelvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes conundrum, you've seen the Bills open up and really trust Zay Jones and Robert Foster, and you've seen the payoff there offensively. It's the last call for the Williams is there. Mike and Tyrell, if they were dropped in your league, you got to jump on them now. I mean, you have Keenan Allen is hurting. We'll see if he can go against the Ravens this week. If not, the Ravens gave up some big stuff to Mike Evans last week. So if Mike Williams has to be a bigger factor, I think he could definitely do that on the outside here with the Keenan Allen working the slot as well, where the Ravens are weak. So if Allen can play, you're cooling off on the Williams a little bit, but Mike Williams I'm definitely in on this week. because they have to get him more involved. And that game against the Chiefs where he dominated definitely showed that. Now, Tim Patrick, you have to look at more with the Broncos. A lot of attention is going to Cortland Sutton. That connection has not looked as good as we expected with Case Keenum here ever since Emmanuel Sanders went down. They've tried to work in Deshaun Hamilton, but Tim Patrick is that bigger body with that touchdown potential on the outside. Hamilton's more the slot guy. He's had some competition from Matt Lacoste, but Tim Patrick is a guy you can look at if you're a little bit struggling as well. Now, we were highly disappointed in Ian Thomas. I was there looking at him at tight end for that Saints-Panthers game, but they didn't ever try to get him involved. Part of it is the Saints were very good against the tight end. Well, the next opponent, the Falcons, are not very good against the tight end, so you can definitely look in that direction if you need Thomas. I think he could be in for a good rebound game against Atlanta. That's definitely their weakness in coverage for sure. Yeah, Chris Herndon, another good connection there. He's the go-to guy there for Darnold on the underneath routes. He had a nice game against the Texans with 53 yards receiving. Now, the Packers have been pretty darn good against the tight end, but they sprung some leaks against Adam Shaheen, who had a nice yardage day, and Trey Burton, who scored a touchdown there for the Bears. So Herndon could definitely be an amalgamation of those two players and be productive for you. And I think you still have to look at what Blake Jarwin can do here for you. The Cowboys need to get him a little bit more involved. It's been a disappointment that they didn't do so after the rookie played, well, the second-year player, really, but didn't really play much there in his first year. So kind of the rookie that they've been reluctant to play as much. He was hyped a little bit in the offseason, but now they're playing the Buccaneers, and then they close with the Giants, who can be pretty leaky against the tight end. So Jarwin, they need to get more involved because it can't just be the Amari Cooper show. We saw that in Indianapolis. It didn't really add up to anything there, and they didn't score points in that game. So if you're desperate at tight end, and really everyone is at this point, and we mentioned that we can't get Noah Fant in our lineups now, so we have to look at the young tight ends that are available, and Thomas Herndon and Jarwin are definitely guys that you can look at if you're really hurting. And at this point, you can take a chance on streaming anyone because you could have just as good a chance to produce with them as you would with Zach Ertz or Eric Ebron at this point. Now, with streaming, you got to look at the Titans there at home against the Redskins. I know the Redskins were able to win that game against the Jaguars, but the Jaguars still had a very strong fantasy game there against Josh Johnson. So you got to chase the bad quarterbacks, and you definitely do that this week there. And people might be giving up on the Rams, but you have to look at the Rams here against the Cardinals. The Cardinals are just a mess and making a lot of mistakes. And I think the Rams, if they're dropped in your league, you have to go after them. You look at the Browns as well. I mean, this is a team that I really like to be a good play at home against the Bengals this week. So Bengals, we know they have Jeff Driscoll, can make a lot of mistakes, and may not have Tyler Boyd, likely not having Tyler Boyd this week. So in the passing game, there's going to be a lot of mistakes, so you can look at the Browns. And when look at the Colts, they're also big favorites at home against the Giants. We know they just shut out the Cowboys, and we know the Giants just got shut out against the Titans. So that lines up pretty well here. And the Colts definitely have been a better defense at home. They're 9-point favorites in the game. So Colts, if you played them last week, you were highly rewarded in maybe a contrarian play. But this week, they're not contrarian. They're something that you should definitely go after. So there you have it. There's a comprehensive look at all the waiver wire additions that can help you here in the near immediate future to perhaps fill a hole or two created by injury on your fantasy football roster this late in the season. We know that happens. We know everyone's always looking to replace something. And if you made the right pickups over the past few weeks, you're still at this point. So you want to keep that momentum going here in week 16. So there you have it, the Locked On Fantasy Football Tuesday Weekly Waiver Wire Show. We'll be back tomorrow with our Matchup Focus Show with Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus joining us to help break down four of the bigger games on the 2018 Week 16 schedule. So thank you there for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow for Locked On Fantasy Football.